This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Kane is in the building.
Trying to fuck with Hollywood Cole. I'm with Marla G, bro. Flying Hollygrove chicks to my Hollywood shows. And I
welcome back into another edition of the Fantasy Authority Podcast. I am your host, Kevin Steele. You can find me on Twitter at FantasyRat13. We're joined, as always, by Cody Kutzer or hashtag HedgeLife. You can find him on Twitter at CKutzerFF. That is KUTZER. For the folks that don't know how to spell Kutzer, the man finally cut his wig, right? I mean, he looks like a different person now. It's like, oh, okay, he's not homeless anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a brand new man. One thing that I was not thinking about as a side effect of this. So for those who don't know, I'm a mailman. I deliver mail. I have an all walking route, and past 2 days been the heat has been picking up here in PA. Today was like 92 was the high, and everywhere where my hair was previously that is not now is sunburnt. So like my forehead here is like raw, the back of my ears are like the hair and the locks were flowing and covering it are not there anymore. It's like the back of my ears, the back of my neck, and like my forehead is just like pink and raw and like sunburnt. Was not expecting that. So, but I'm going to persevere, man. I'm going to push through, even though I have, you know, a little bit of sunburn on the face.
Well, it looks good. It looks good. I'm sure your wife is happy too.
Yeah, man. She actually acknowledged that I'm in the house now. So that's nice that she's been at least saying hi to me every once in a while.
Let you come to bed and sleep in the same bed and everything now.
Yeah. Yeah. Not sleeping next to the cat litter downstairs. So that's been another plus.
That does sound like a real, real positive there. So in this show, well, basically tonight, we're going to be talking about a couple of different things. Mainly, we're going to be kind of, you know, with, it's crazy, right? Because the first preseason game is 58 days away, and the first regular season game is 93 days away, I believe. So really close, right? Like, if you would have told me, you know, just thinking about it, like, I felt like it was so far away, but then once you break it down like that, you realize how quickly it's getting here. Which means we're less than what 50 some days away from redraft season starting. So we're kind of getting there. June is the kind of unofficial start to the redraft season. That's when people can start talking about it and putting it out into the existence of things, where dynasty starts to go down, redraft starts to come up. And so that's why today we are going to be taking a look at some ADP, and we're going to be using some fantasy football calculators, PPR ADP, which is for the last 3 days. And I have to say, some of the things when I was looking at it really caught me off guard. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be kind of buying or selling for we would take a player at their current ADP. And we'll discuss through some of that. So again, as always, before we get started, if you're watching this on YouTube, please hit that like and subscribe button. Really appreciate it. We got a lot of stuff coming out. You can also check out some of the other stuff that we've done. Like Cody, he actually just recently released a top 10 rookie running backs for Dynasty. You can also extrapolate that over to redraft as well. And if there's any other topics you'd like us to cover, you know, keeper, dynasty, redraft, roster construction, strategy base, let us know. You can also join our Slack chat, which was actually popping today in the dynasty chat. A lot of good stuff going on in there. And, you know, if you're listening to this on podcast, please consider rating and reviewing the show. It really helps us out. So with all that being said, before we actually get started, we do have one important news and notes that came out. Of course, because holdout season is finally here, Dalvin Cook is planning on holding out until he gets a reasonable contract. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I'm never going to fault a player for trying to get as much money as they can, like especially at the running back position where it looks like those second contracts. I think we've talked about it before on the show too, where going forward, they're just going to be discarded to the side, right? They're just going to be crushed during their first contract, and then the second contract is going to come up, and they're not going to get that money. So I will never fault a player for trying to get as much money as they can while they're playing. But from what I've been reading, what I've been seeing, it seems like he's not going to be able to accrue this season to add into free agency after this if he doesn't show up. And it also seemed like the Vikings don't have a lot of cap space to give him the money that he's looking for. Like, I think he wanted – it was north of what McCaffrey got, which was like 16 per year. Obviously, he's not going to get that, but – If he wants anything close to it, I don't think the Vikings even have the cap space to be able to do that. So I don't know, man. And we saw how that worked with Melvin last year, did not really turn out too well in his favor. I don't think he got the money that he was hoping to get. So I will never fault the player for doing it, but it kind of seems like he's not going to have too much leverage in this particular situation.
Yeah, he has like zero leverage, right? Because essentially, if he holds out the entire year, he does not become a free agent, but he becomes a restricted free agent next year. So there is that. Like, he's not necessarily he's not a complete, it's not like the year doesn't count like it used to. But now in the new CBA, before, you would start to get fined if you did not show up like you were supposed to. But most time, I would say about 99% of the times, teams always escaped, never actually went through with it, didn't actually fine him. New CBA, that's gone. They have no that's not an option anymore for them just not to hold it back on you, right? So if he were to sit out the entire year, I think it ended up being like he would end up losing like over $1.5 million, something like that, which is more than what he's going to make this year. He essentially would be paying the league to actually not play, and then he would also be a restricted free agent, which now at that point, you know, teams could bid for his services, and then he could end up getting his contract. So maybe it is somewhat of a possibility if he's okay with losing that kind of money. But he doesn't have a ton of leverage here at all. And I get it. There's people that have said, well, he is the team. They've built this entire offense kind of around being a run-first offense. But for me, I'm not saying Alexander Mattison is as good as Dalvin Cook, but I don't think it's a significant fall-off between the two of them if he does not play and Alexander Mattison and Mike Boone fill that role. So I don't think it's a great move for Dalvin Cook. He may not be the only one, though, right? Like, we started talking about kind of Joe Mixon because Joe Mixon's in the same situation as he is. Alvin Kamara's in the same situation that he is. So, I mean, this may be the tip of the iceberg here. I know we're only in June, but what does this do for Dalvin Cook's fantasy? I mean, because, we saw it last year, right, with Melvin Gordon whenever he was going to sit out, and he fell dramatically in draft. And I think that if this continues to roll through until we get into August, like, this is going to really significantly hurt his ADP along with some of these other guys. What is your thoughts on that?
Yeah, man. I mean, if this is continuing into August and we're still hearing that they're super far apart, you know what I mean? He has no plans of showing up. I think people are going to start to get worried like they did. Because didn't someone by the name of Kevin Steele take Melvin Gordon early in the Scott Fishbowl last year?
There was a guy with that name, and he did. He actually also took Todd Gurley because, I tried to be contrarian. He fell a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and take Todd Gurley, and I took the L on that as well.
Yeah, so I think what's going to end up happening is, with that recency bias in mind, people are going to hold off on them. I think we see Madison's redraft ADP really skyrocket. I think as of right now, he's going as like RB 40, RB 44, something like that. So he's going to jump way up. I think right now, if for whatever reason, if you're redrafting super early, I'm not going to let him drop too far. You know what I mean? Like, I can't do that right now because of all the things. Like, it seems like he doesn't have that leverage, right? So I'm not going to let him drop too far if you have like an early draft for whatever reason. But if you do yours late, like the, fourth week of the preseason or something, and you're still not hearing anything, then yeah, he's definitely going to drop probably what, two rounds, I would assume, maybe into the third.
Probably more than that, because I think at that point he probably does pull a Melvin Gordon. He's already pot committed at that point. I think you could see him hold out at least all the way through until you know, until he has to report, I think it's like week 8 or week 9, just like Melvin Gordon did last year, and then show up, which if that happened, he should be going in like the 8th or 9th round at that point, because you're going to get him for the half of the season. It's going to be an interesting time to monitor this, because I do think there's a possibility Joe Mixon. Now, Joe Mixon hasn't had the career success that Dalvin Cook has, but the thing with Dalvin Cook as well, he's never stayed healthy. He's never played 16 games in his entire career. Last year was definitely like, he showed us exactly what we thought he could be. At the same time, I do think that should be taken into consideration the fact that he's just never been healthy, even in college. You know, those things certainly hurt him. But like I said, at the end of the day, we still have a long time to go, and we'll have to monitor how this thing goes, because, you know, this could all be water under the bridge. Maybe they get a deal done. We'll see. But as of right now, I think you have to drop him down in your rankings. And in best ball, you're in a best ball situation right now. I don't know if I'd feel comfortable taking him. Now, if he starts to fall to a significant level, something we saw with like Zeke a couple of years ago whenever he did this, and then where people really hit kind of a home run because he fell and people didn't know how long he was going to hold out. And did he miss a week? I think he missed a week, right? Because he signed like right before the season started or right there at that point. And but his draft value had fallen, and then people were actually ready to get him at a little bit of a value. And I think that could end up happening here with Dalvin Cook, just depending on how things go. He seems pretty serious about it. We'll see what happens.
At what point, if you know, say you're in one of those late drafts, how early would you take Madison in this scenario? Like, you know what I mean? It's a week or two out. They still seem super far apart. At what point are you going to pull the trigger on Madison?
If we get to close to the end of August and we have no sign of him showing up, then I think you probably consider taking Madison in the fifth or sixth round, something in that range, right? You still understand that he's only going to have half a season of, at best, probably a half season of value. However, you know, that half season, those 8 weeks can end up carrying you, you know, at least into the playoffs at that point if he ends up returning the value, as well as I still think he has somewhat of a role even in the event that when he comes back. Like, I think he is somebody that has some standalone value, because I do think he's somebody that's probably going to see touches every single week.
Yeah, then, you know, the injury history with Dalvin as well. So that makes sense to me.
All right, so let's go ahead and get this thing started here with the old, you know, do some ADP pressure. Again, you can check this out over at Fantasy Football Calculator. We're using their ADP, their PPR ADP, their half-point PPR has not been updated. So, but their PPR has been updated, so that's what we're using. So let's go ahead and start. We're going to start at the running back position here. And we're going to start with my boy, who we just talked about last week as somebody that I felt as a breakout candidate. But I'm not going to lie to you. I did not see this kind of ADP for Kenyon Drake. I thought he was going to be somebody that we could get in like the second, mid-second, maybe early, you know, late second, maybe early third. But right now, he's going at the 109 right now. Are you buying or selling that?
In the words of Randy Jackson, that's a no for me, dog. I can't do that. RB5, I'm sorry, man. Like, I feel because there's a lot of smart people that are smarter than me, that, you know, Silva and guys like that, who are all about Kenyon Drake this year, and I'm sure that's why he's sitting at RB5 at this point. But dude, I can't do it. Like, this is not a guy that a lot of people were super excited about going into this. Now, all of a sudden, he had, I think it was what, like 3 good games with Arizona. Now, all of a sudden, we're all in and we're all buying it. Like, I get going from the death trap of Miami with Adam Gase to this offense are completely different. You can't really compare the two. But if you look at what he did, like, he had some, like, the games where he played really well, they were really good. So he had 3 games with over 100 yards rushing. I think they were all over like 120. I think he had like 160 in there at one point. But then he had 5 games where he didn't even eclipse 70 rushing yards. He wasn't utilizing the passing game. Or let me say that he was not too efficient with what he was getting. He had like 2 games of 7 targets, but those didn't amount to anything. He only had 1 game with more than 30 receiving yards. So at this, like, RB5 at this at 109, I can't do that. I know that you're all about him. You brought up the Slack earlier. We threw a poll up in there. You know who you wanted. There was what, Mixon, Sanders, Drake, Jacobs. Was there one more in there? I think maybe
Derrick Henry.
Okay, so Kev, you put that in there. You know, Zach Marmer, a former TFA OG, threw his vote down on Drake. Both of you guys said you loved him, but are you buying at this point?
I think his show notes actually a little bit. He's actually going on RB7, so it's not as as crazy, but still. So right now he's basically essentially going, you know, McCaffrey, Barkley, Kamara, Dalvin Cook, which is probably going to change a little bit with the news we just got. Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs are all going ahead of him. Going after him is Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb. Oh, and Zeke Elliott's going ahead of him as well. And then Miles Sanders, right? And so you look at that and you say, okay, well, who would you take, you know, at, when I get to that point, if I'm wanting to go running back at that point, I would consider Josh. I would consider, I definitely have a consideration for Joe Mixon. And then I would take Miles Sanders ahead of him, which I would. I would take Miles Sanders over Kenyon Drake. It's hard to deny Kenyon Drake in the situation he's going to be in there. There's nobody else around him, right? I mean, it's Chase Edmonds and Eno Benjamin. And I mean, when he arrived there, he finishes the RB4 from week 9 on. He's in a better offense. Another year with Kyler Murray. I think Kyler Murray takes a step forward this year. Opens up the, you know, we like running backs, especially with running quarterbacks, because it opens up lanes for the running backs. I think he's going to see targets. And I think adding DeAndre Hopkins also helps as well and just kind of makes this offense go. So with everything considered and how good this offense probably should be, we know it's going to be a high-volume pass offense. He should have opportunities to score. It's going to be hard for him to really fail. And so if you look at the running backs going around him, it's tough to really make an argument against them because of everything that I just said. And then, again, you know, you go look at the running backs after him. Joe Mixon, I don't know what that offense is going to be. Does Joe Mixon struggle? Joe Mixon has not. I mean, he hasn't officially, like, broken out. I definitely think I love Joe Mixon as well. And then you have, I mentioned Nick Chubb, who's going after him. And then Miles Sanders, who has some question marks in his own right. They keep talking about bringing another running back, but again, we've talked about that. Doesn't really matter to me, but I would take Miles Sanders ahead of him. But that's kind of the list for me in terms of running backs. And so for me, he has a really clear-cut role here in this offense, and it could end up commanding 70-80% of opportunity share.
I don't know, dude. There's just something about it that I just can't buy in at that price. Like I can't just go from him being an afterthought to RB5 within a span of 30 seconds. I don't know, man. That's one I would rather have Devontae. Obviously we're talking running backs right now, but going after him, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Julio, like give me all of those guys over Kenyon Drake easily. I just, like I said, man, there's just something about it. Maybe I need to pull up the old NFL Game Pass and watch him. Maybe I'll get a little bit more appreciation for it. But as of right now, RB5 at 109, I can't.
It's pretty spicy. Like I said, it was real spicy when I saw it. And maybe it drops a little bit. You know, we are in June. That gets talked down a little bit. Some other guys move up ahead of him, and he ends up going in that mid-second round, because I would feel great about taking him in mid-second. Taking him at 109 is really spicy there. The other thing I will say as we're on the running backs are flying off the board.
It's crazy. Like
wide receivers is being significantly pushed down. Like when you talk about like Allen Robinson, for example, as a wide receiver I love, you can get him in like mid to late third round. Like he's almost going into the fourth round, Allen Robinson is. And he might be going to the top of the third, but regardless, he's going to the third round, which, see, to me, like I figured he's going like the second round. A lot of these guys are just being pushed down because running backs are being drafted so heavily. I think there's some edge. Now, I do not believe going zero RB. Like, I think zero RB is pretty much done. I think it's kind of a dead thing, but I do think that you can go robust wide receiver and take a running back in the first couple of rounds and just slam wide receiver because value is so crazy that you could end up taking, I don't know, Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill with your first two picks, and then coming back around in the third round and still getting like a Leonard Fournette, who we'll talk about, or David Johnson, grabbing a couple of these other guys and you know, loading up with some other places, but continuing to slam wide receiver because wide receivers are just being undervalued right now, I think, a little bit too much. I think we've gotten a little bit too overboard, and this might be a nice time to pivot.
Yeah, man, I agree. And I'm sure we'll definitely get more into the strategy stuff once we get closer to the season. The next guy we have here up on the list, a guy that's near and dear to your heart, I want to get your thoughts on this. Clyde Edwards-Helaire going at 209 as RB14. Kev, what are you doing with him at that point? Are you buying or selling?
This is a tough one, really, to be honest with you, at where he's currently going, 208. I think he ends up going higher than that by the time the season gets here. I think he continues to get talked up. He's going at about RB 14, and I think we could end up seeing him going as an RB 1, like a late back end RB 1. I have reservations with this because we look at this team last year, and what do you think? Like, I get the Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a talent is better than anything they had last year with LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams. Like, far and away, he's much better talent. However, I don't know if the opportunity is going to be there. What, and that is the issue that I have with him and him going that high. Like, it's so tough because I can see a scenario where he's not getting that. Like, Damian Williams is still going to have a role. I want people to understand that. Like, he's still going – it's not going to be a ton. But if you go back and you just look at the opportunity share for this team last year, so basically last year that there was 89 total receptions among for the running backs, 106 targets, 311 total rushing attempts, 89 receptions, 106 total targets. Damian Williams averaged 10 carries per game and 3.2 targets per game. LeSean McCoy averaged 7 carries per game and 2.4 targets per game, right? None of the other running backs really come into the fold here because none of them, Damian Williams, Darwin Thompson, never really had much of a role. So that's out the window, right? So if you look at that, do you think that the Chiefs are going to start throwing the ball less? And now you could go back to when Kareem Hunt was there, and I understand that argument as well. You look at how even Kareem Hunt's rookie year, or not Kareem Hunt's, Patrick Mahomes' rookie year, where he played, Kareem Hunt was really productive, right? However, they didn't have the weapons that they have now. Yeah, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce was there. They have Sammy Watkins, who's still there, which he was there as well, I believe, too. But they have Sammy Watkins. Mecole Hardman's there. Like, they have all these weapons. Not everybody's going to be able to touch the ball a ton, right? And I think they threw the ball. They were number one in passing compared to the run-pass ratio last year. They were number one in that. Unless you're expecting that to go down and they're going to start running the ball more, I don't think the attempts are going to be there. And like I've said, like, there's so many options in the passing game. Like, I don't think that he's not going to get, and I love Ray Garvin to death. Dude is a beast. Follow him on Twitter. Check out his Destination Devi. But he's someone that has mentioned that he thought he could have 100 receptions or 100 targets. Or it was either 100 targets, 100 receptions, regardless. I don't think he gets anywhere close to that. I don't see how they're going to get anywhere close to that. Unless they suffer significant injury, which is possible. But if that doesn't happen, I don't see how that comes to light. And if that doesn't come to light, unless he is super efficient and he gets a ton of touchdowns, which is possible with this offense. I love this offense. You know that. It's one of the best, if not the best still in the league. They bring everything. And here's something else to remember too. When we talk about, which we'll talk about Cam Akers lately, but there's a bit of a narrative here, right? With Cam Akers, it's how bad that offensive line is, and that's why he's not going to be able to produce, right? If you go back to 2018 Rams, that offense was one of the best in the league. Now, last year, it took a step backward. But when we look at that offensive line last year, it was terrible. But nobody talks about the Chiefs' offensive line. The Chiefs' offensive line was just as bad as the Rams was last year. If you look at their offensive line last year, they ranked 28th in adjusted line yards and 21st in power. Those are things that should be taken into consideration. Their offensive line is not good by any means. Patrick Mahomes is a madman and runs out and does all this and makes plays happen, right? But their offensive line is not better. They did nothing to improve their offensive line. They did have some injuries last year, which should be taken into consideration as well. So for me, I'm a sell that. Unless we get more as the season gets closer, and we find out that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be the workhorse and everything in this offense, I could probably get on board with that. But right now, I can't do it. And I mean, and we haven't heard anything different either, that the fact that Damian Williams is going to be the starter.
Yeah, man, totally agree. I was interested to get your take on it, obviously, because you were a Kansas City faithful. But at that point, I completely agree. I don't think he just pushes Damian Williams out of the out of the picture. I think it's going to be a little bit more of a split than what people want to think. And an RB14, that's like a price where you're like, you're kind of taking it into consideration, but like, you're not taking it too serious.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Obviously, if we get word that it's gonna be the Clyde show and it's just gonna be him, then this ADP is just gonna rise, right? But as of right now, like I said, it's like, well, Damian's there, but is he really? I don't know. But so for me, I don't have too much more else to add. I think you hit on all the important points, and I'm also gonna pass on that. Like I said, until we get more information. 209 RB14, that's just a little rich for me. There's a guy who's going after him who more or less should have the entire backfield to himself. I think his target's going to come down a little bit, obviously compared to last year, but Leonard Fournette, RB16 going at 301, that is going to be a situation where I'm going to buy that. For dynasty purposes, I kind of want to get out this year. I'd rather get out a year too early than a year too late. So unless you're a contender, I would be selling Fournette if you can. But for redraft purposes for 2020, I'm going to be buying this. You're not going to get too many other running backs after this point that are going to have the carry upside that he does. Like I already mentioned, he's not going to get 100 targets, but everyone keeps talking about, you know, they brought in Chris Thompson, Gruden worked with him at Washington. Can we just put that to the side as if like Chris Thompson is like a beacon of health and he's going to come in there and just be ready to go for all 16 games. I think Fournette's targets were going to come down no matter what, but I don't look at Chris Thompson as being like the reason why. If he can stay healthy, I think he can be a nice PPR upside pick like much later in your draft. But I'm not looking at Chris Thompson as like some huge threat to Leonard Fournette. Even if he splits some of the carries, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. If his targets come back down to like that 50 range, I think is fine. I think his rookie season, I think he had around like 35 catches, something like that. And I think he finished as an RB1. If not, it was right on the fringe. So I think that's well within his range of outcomes again for this year. So RB16, I think you're getting a little bit of value. But what are you thinking on Fournette, Kev?
I don't really understand it, to be honest with you, his ADP. For somebody that, I mean, commanded 90% of the opportunity share last year. He was ninth in fantasy points per game, sixth in rushing yards, fifth in receptions. The three total touchdowns, despite the fact that, I mean, which should be mentioned, he only had three total touchdowns last year, but he still finished ninth in fantasy points per game, fourth in red zone touches, fourth in targets. And they weren't even a team that ran the ball a ton. I mean, they were 23rd in attempts per game, but he was eighth in yards created. There's a lot to like here with him, right? And I know people are all of a sudden looking at Chris Thompson, and all of a sudden it's like Chris Thompson is like Tariq Cohen or some. He continues to get hurt. And over the last 2 years, if you look at it, he's had a couple here and there games that you can kind of get excited about. I get it. If you look at Chris Thompson, he does have familiarity with the offense with Jay Gruden there. Last year, he had 58 targets and then 42 receptions, which was 16th in the league. He was hurt. He missed some opportunities there. And then if you go back to 2018, I think the first 2 weeks of the year, he scored 20 fantasy points, and then it sort of fell off, right? I do think Chris Thompson is going to be involved. I think Chris Thompson is going to receive pass-catching work. But that's kind of baked in there for you at RB16, right? They're going to feed him the ball. There's nobody else there. There's Raquel Armstead, you know, as a late round or a handcuff that I like later in drafts. But there's a lot to like here with Leonard Fournette. And getting him at RB16 in the third round, like I said, if you're one of those people who starts wide receiver early, I mean, you know, if you could get, like I said, Davante Adams and like Tyreek Hill with your first two picks, and then going like Leonard Fournette in the third round, like I would feel pretty solid about that, right? And I think all the opportunities are going to be there. I still think he commands that backfield. I still think that he is somewhere in the range. He's not getting 100 targets this year. I don't see that happening. I think he probably falls more into the 60-70 target range. Probably gets around 40 receptions, something like that, which will hurt him a little bit for sure. But overall, like, I think Leonard Fournette should be ranked higher, should be going higher than he is. And if he continues to go around this range, like, I'll have no problems, the draft button, in upcoming drafts here in a couple of months.
Yeah, like I said, especially with the guys who are going after them, you're not going to find too many that are going to have the touch upside that Fournette has. So he's someone, if he stays in that range, because it seems like everyone's just thinking he's going to have like this massive drop off. Which actually leads pretty nicely to our next guy, which is another one that I'm not fully understanding here either. But Chris Carson at RB21 going around later at 401. Kev, why don't you take this one first? Are you buying or selling at that price for Chris Carson?
This is a tough one for me, but I think I'm buying at RB21, right? You're kind of baking out all of that. Rashad Penny's still there. They drafted DJ Dallas. Now, we're going to have to wait and see, because there's been some rumors that Marshawn Lynch might actually come back. If that happens, that will change how I feel about Carson, because I think that I think Carson could move into more of a pass-catching role than he is an every down back. But if you look at him in 15 games last year, he committed 71% of the opportunities, 15.5 fantasy points per game. They were obviously, a run-heavy offense. They ran the third most. They ran the third most in the league. He ended up with 278 carries, 46 targets, 43 red zone touches, which was 13th. And then he was fourth in yards created. He was also 4.7 breakaway run rate, which was good. He also was third in the league with 6 100-yard games, which was tied with Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Aaron Jones, and Josh Jacobs. And then he was his 3.63 yards after contact were also 15th in the league. So there's lots to like with Chris Carson last year, right? Chris Carson has always been undervalued. It happens every year. We look at Chris Carson, and it was when Rashad Penny was going to get picked. Everybody hated Chris Carson. Chris Carson was dead. And well, as we found out, that really, I don't know what the hell the Seahawks were doing with ever drafting him in the first round. That turned out to not work out, because Rashad Penny has been nothing, right? We saw a little glimpse of him last year. We got a little excited with him. We thought maybe there was an opportunity there with him, and then that ended up falling off. So for me, barring anything crazy happening, like I said, like Marshawn Lynch being brought back, I think it's an obvious buy at RB21. I don't get it. Like, he was 12th in fantasy points per game last year, right? Like, I don't know what there's not to like in a run heavy offense. He's likely going to command a similar workload. He's going to get targets. So there's a lot to like here. And at RB21, I mean, he's almost going as an RB3. I'm all about it.
Yeah, man, to me, I think it's still going to be his backfield. I think there is a little bit of a hesitation as far as, like, if he starts.
I was going to say, it just hit me. They also signed, I see the thing. Yeah, they mentioned that Carlos Hyde was also signed as well. So I think that should be mentioned as well.
Yeah. And to me, that's more of a, if Chris Carson's fumbling issues continue, there is someone there to nip at his heels, right? Like, I don't necessarily see Hyde pushing him for the starting job at the outset of the season, unless, like you said, something crazy happens. Let's say, like, Chris Carson is just, like, looks like shit for whatever reason, or those fumbling issues pop up. That is a situation where I can see somebody like Carlos Hyde coming in and taking some of those touches and kind of taking over that role. But I think at the outset, and at that price, with everybody chasing running backs like we've talked about, I think you can buy there without that, like, really throwing off your draft, right? I wouldn't want to take Chris Carson as my RB1 by any means, but if he's your RB2 and then that doesn't work out and you can snag someone later in your draft, like, I'd be fine with that, not as my RB1, but as my RB2, and I think you can make up for that later in the draft.
You feel like almost that they're going to have to move on from somebody here, because, like, it feels like they have weights. I mean, right now they have Carson, they have Penny, they have Carlos Hyde, they drafted DJ Dallas. Like, it feels like there's a lot of mouths here, and, like, I can't imagine they're going to keep all of these running backs.
Yeah, somebody's definitely going to get cut or something, right? Like, I can't – with all the guys you mentioned, I can't imagine there's going to be too much of a trade market for them, especially with Penny not being able to stay healthy. Hyde has been bouncing around the league for how long now? Dallas, they obviously just signed. So unless one of those guys, like, really shows out in the preseason or something and they can move on for them, that's the only scenario I see. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see if somebody like Travis Homer is cut, a couple of those other guys. But that's kind of where I'm sitting right now with that situation.
Yeah, so, all right, so let's go ahead and move on. Let's jump over to Cam Akers, right, our first or our second rookie, I should say. He's currently going at 508 RB27. Are you buying or selling him?
I'm going to live my best hedge life right now, and I'm going to...
I'm
going to
go or.
Hey, will you go out with me? Yes or no? I'm going to circle or and send it back. I'm going to buy at RB27, but I think I'm going to sell at 508. Is that allowed on the rules? Am I allowed to split that, live that hedge life?
I don't know how that exactly works, but
like 508 just seems like as we sit right now, just seems like a little early, but I'm seeing him finish ahead of 27. You know what I mean? That like, that's kind of where I'm sitting with that. I think in a normal year where everyone's not so starved and crazed for running backs, like RB27, you're not going to have to take RB27 at 508. But if I'm going to commit, I'm going to commit to buying, because I do think that Akers takes over this running back room sooner rather than later. I don't care about Sean McVay and what everyone's pointing to in that article with him saying like, we're going to use a committee. You don't move up in the third round last year to take Henderson if you think he's going to be the guy, and then take Akers in the second round the following year. If they felt that comfortable with Henderson and Brown, they're not going to take that second round capital with that team is not in a great spot with the defense, with the O-line. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to waste that second round capital on Akers if they felt comfortable with Henderson and Brown. So I do think he takes over that room sooner rather than later. I'm not seeing like a Christian McCaffrey level usage with him. I still think those other guys are going to be involved, but I do think Akers sees the lion's share of those touches. So I will buy here.
Yeah, I do understand what you're saying, because saying like fifth round seems a little rich, but then you're like RB27 though, and I get that. But I think it would depend on roster construction for me, because I do think there's a couple of running backs that maybe I'd have a little bit more interest in a little bit later than him. But at the same time, I do think he has that sort of upside that you're looking for. I do think the Rams offense is going to kind of bounce back from what, you know, it's going to be much more similar in my opinion to the 2018 Rams. Than the 2019 Rams in terms of their offense. So for that, like I definitely think Cam Akers is the best running back they have on that team. I definitely believe that. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of narrative out there. People are pumping their narratives on Twitter, which are just ridiculous. And people try to back up their narratives with any little thing they can find. They're grabbing at straws as much as they possibly can. But I think Cam Akers is the best running back on this team. I think Daryl Henderson maybe is more of just that RB2. And I think Cam Akers, he has that upside, that league-winning potential, that RB1 upside there. And so I have no problem with him, with taking him at RB27. You know, mid-fifth is a little rich for me, I will say that. But in a situation where these running backs are flying off the board for everybody, like, right. You know, you're going to have to kind of, you're going to have to make this decision. But like I said, Cam Akers at RB27 isn't ridiculous. I know that Jonathan Taylor, I think, is going around ahead of him. I do think I 100% expect Jonathan Taylor to continue to move up rather quickly and aggressively up there. And I think he ends up going more in that second, third round range as well with Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, yeah. People are going to be pushing Mac off to the side and going after Taylor. But we have a question here from Open 24 Hours on the YouTube. For only 2020 redraft, how would you rank Akers, Dobbins, Mostert, Hunt, and Keyshawn Vaughn?
That's tough. I would probably go Akers.
Yes. Man, the one I'm not really sure what to do with is Raheem. That's one where, little sneak peek. We're going to be talking about our rankings here coming up. And that he's someone who I had trouble with ranking. I'm really not sure what to do with Mostert, because it seems like everyone's just trying to give him that running back room to himself. And I don't think that's going to be the case. But even with his, you know, like, I think he's going to be able to be efficient with the touches that he gets. Yeah.
I think I would go Akers. I don't agree with that either. I would go Akers, Hunt, Vaughn, Dobbins, and then Mostert. I don't know. That's so tough. Because like I agree. Like I think with Mostert, like I don't think he gets to that. I think we are undervaluing Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman now is going like as an RB40 something or somewhere in that range in terms of ADP. I still think he has a role in that offense. And I think We've seen it a lot last year where they were more than okay with a committee.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jerick McKinnon's back, right? The rising from the ashes like a phoenix. We might actually get to see Jerick McKinnon.
For the fifth time. Gonna cut him. For the fifth
time. And the tough thing with Dobbins, which I was actually thinking about putting him on this list as well to talk about, but is I don't know how I love J.K. Dobbins, right? And the narrative with him right now is just wait till 2021, right? Because that's what we're all waiting for with him. Because in Dynasty, like he is, it's no doubt that that J.K. Dobbins probably deserves to be in the top three conversation, the top three, top four, for sure. But for this year, he's like Mark Ingram's still there. Mark Ingram's still going to get opportunities, so it's a tough one.
I'm going to go Akers, Vaughn, Mostert, Dobbins, and then Hunt. But ask me tomorrow, I'm probably going to change my mind. That's one where I could go back and forth on this one all night.
Yeah, this is something where this is one of those we're going to have to get more information. We need to kind of see how things play out a little bit, get some training camp information, see how things turn around in preseason and stuff like that. So. I'm almost certain my opinion would be a little bit different, you know, come August. And then that is the best name ever.
Yes, you're gonna have to
Thundercut Smith. How do you feel about drafting wide receiver, tight end, and then all rookie back? One, I don't think you need to take tight end that early, right? I think it ends up hurting you. So I would much rather take a tight end later. I get the positional scarcity of wanting to take a tight end there, but something we've kind of talked a lot about so far this year, that this tight ends feel like it's a little bit deeper this year than what it normally is, right? You know, even though I was looking at like Dallas Goedert right now is going at like tight end 16, right? And he has like legit tight end one upside, even with Zach Ertz there. And so I would not go tight end unless it's a tight end premium or something like that, I wouldn't do it. Now, like I mentioned, going wide receiver is certainly, I think, not a bad strategy because you're going to get fantastic value early. Wide receivers are falling. Now, there's also the flip side to how deep wide receiver position is. But if I can get the opportunity to get like Davante Adams, who could easily be a wide receiver one or the wide receiver one this year, and then Tyreek Hill right there with him, like two top five wide receivers. And then, like I said, then that's when I would probably start hammering running back. Now, I don't think it's a terrible idea to go rookie running backs either, because I think there's enough in this class where this could rival what we saw a few years ago with Christian McCaffrey class, right? Where that class really blew up. And I think that this class could end up being somewhere in the same range. But it's all ultimately going to end up, for me, going to depend on how much further. Because there's a big difference between talking about it in June. Because, like I said, Jonathan Taylor is certainly going to move up higher. I think DeAndre Swift's going to move up higher. I think we see Cam Akers could possibly move up a little higher depending on how things play out. So I'm not trying to hedge. I'm just saying, for me, if I was going to go wide receiver, then I would want to hammer running backs for the next couple of rounds.
Yeah, for sure. Just with the way that everything's falling, I know if I started wide receiver, tight end, I would hate my team. Because with how early and often these running backs are flying off, I don't mind going tight end in the third, but if I were doing that, I'd want to go RB, and then slam receiver after that, because you're going to be able to get guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth round who are going to be the wide receiver ones on their team. So that's how I would do that, or at least go RB wide receiver. I would want one of those first two picks to be running back, just because of I know I would not feel comfortable with those options at running back, like especially rookie running backs, because this year for 2020, I like all of them have at least a speed bump in front of them to leading their room in touches. Right. So that's where I would fall with that one.
Yeah. And speaking of the last running back that we have to talk about is Keyshawn Vaughn, right? He is currently going at RB 31, 702. And then Ronald Jones is going RB 36 and 801. There is quite the power struggle going on right now between the Ronald Jones, Keyshawn Vaughn debate, right? And it's really starting to get to a point where more and more people are jumping on the Ronald Jones bandwagon and people are really hyping up Ronald Jones. Now, objectively, and trying to not let my bias come out with how much I love Keyshawn Vaughn, like Ronald Jones was better than what he was last year, and certainly what he was his rookie year, right? But I still believe that Ronald Jones is just a guy. I think there's a reason they went out and brought in Keyshawn Vaughn. I think that he is certainly much more involved in the passing game. He's not James White. I've seen that. He's not James White. Like that, he is not that good of like he is not that good of a receiving back. He is certainly more than capable. Okay. But he's not that. And I've also seen the Keyshawn Vaughn is too small to be a lead back, but he's almost 220 pounds. Like that is ridiculous. Like whoever says that clearly is not paying attention to anything. For me, if things were as they currently are, I would really have no problem taking probably either one, because I think the upside's kind of baked into it, right? Because if you take him, you know, in the seventh round, Keyshawn Vaughn at RB31, if he's your fourth or fifth running back, like I don't hate that, because I think he certainly is going to have an opportunity. And I think he's going to have an opportunity early. I think at the very least he starts out getting that pass catching work. And then with Ronald Jones, again, same thing. Like, I am buying Keyshawn Vaughn and selling Ronald
Jones. Yep, I'd agree. I don't think we really have to go too much further into this one. This is where anytime Ronald Jones comes up, I'm going to have the same response. He couldn't beat out Peyton Barber. That's all you need to know. And they let that dude walk.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, that'll pretty much wrap up tonight's show. Really appreciate everybody checking it out. Be sure to tune in on Friday when we break down the wide receiver position and are we buying or selling them at their current ADP. You can follow me on Twitter at FantasyRat13. Follow my co-host at CKutzerFF. And we would love to see you guys on our Slack channel. Absolutely free. You'll find the link in the description below where we have Redraft Dynasty DFS. And just talking about fantasy football, talking about football, talking about whatever you want. A lot of good people in there. You know, make some money through DFS. Win some championships through Redraft or Dynasty or whatever. There's a bunch of people. I think we have over 200 people in there right now. So I really appreciate everybody checking out the show. And we'll see you guys again Friday. Have a great rest of the week. Peace.
We hope you enjoy your stay. It's good to have you with us, even if it's just for the day. We hope you enjoy your stay. Outside the sun is shining, seems like heaven ain't far.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.